basically this morning, we're done with Thessalonians. And what I want you to know is we're going to start a series starting next week on the mind. And what we're going to do is we're going to create some flyers next week. And we're going to put on these flyers, we're going to have breakfast from 8 to 9 here in the street. We're going to flip some pancakes out here. We're going to go ahead and canvas hundreds of houses around here and tell them 8 to 9, come eat some breakfast. We're having church on the street. And we're going to do a series for about a month before we enter in another book. And we're going to speak about the mind. Right now, mental health and mental illness, man, is really at an all-time high. What we're going to do is take it to the Word. We need to take that stuff to the Word. I don't know what has happened in culture and through time, but now all of a sudden the Bible's not enough. And I disagree with that. And so we're going to make it enough starting next week. So put the Word out. I'll finish the message up with that. But what I wanted to say today is we raised $10,000 here in the last several months. How P, that money came in, God provided. God provided for our VBS. Like, we had a finance meeting. Guys, there ain't very many of us out here. I know everybody brought their own chairs. There's a lot of empty chairs here. And what's amazing to me is how God has never failed. God keeps providing. And let me tell you something. There's a couple stories in God's Word, and I just want to give it to you this morning. God loves the impossible. God loves people of faith. God loves things that are absurd. That's why He calls men and women in the Bible to do things that are utterly ridiculous. And then He shows up. When we put together a plan, we put together our money, we can execute something and say, look what we've done. God, can you come bless it? This is different. All through the Bible, you see things where God comes through. God comes in spite of men's plans and men falling short. God loves the audacious. He loves that stuff. We need to be men and women of faith. It's time for the Maple City Baptist Church to start trusting to God that said He would take care of us from the beginning. The Bible starts off in Genesis chapter 1. And you know how it starts off? Genesis 1 verse 2. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The earth was without form. It was void. And it was dark. So what's God do? The first time He speaks in the Word here, in the order of the Bible's end, He says, let there be light. And you know what happened? Yeah, the light came on. Right from the very beginning, God wants us to know He does His best work in the dark, when there is no light. That's why once we get saved, He says, people that sat in darkness, Mark chapter 4, they'll see a great light. And Jesus Christ comes down and says, I am the light of the world. The reason He entered my world is because I was nothing but darkness. The Bible says I was born in sin. So He came in. So God does His best work in the dark. John 1:5 says, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. We've seen some dark days as a church. What about your family? Haven't we seen some dark times? Some of you right now are in the darkest of times. This is when God shows up. You are now candidate for a miracle. God does His best work when the light's not shining. Because He is that light. He is going to show up. What about you get the book of Genesis, then you go to the book of Exodus, and God's like, these people need the Word. This is when the law starts coming to be. You know what's beautiful about the law? Do you know how it comes into effect? It happened twice because Moses broke them the first time around. But it says in Exodus 31:18, there were two tables of a testimony. There were two tables of stone. And the Bible says this. God wrote upon these tables of stone with His finger. Like stone. I mean, you and me got to get massive equipment and lasers and sandblasters to make like tombstones. To take granite and marble and to write into stone. It's an impossible task for human beings. That's why we got to create equipment to do it. But our God starts off bringing us the Bible, and He does it on tables of stone, but He just inscribed it with His finger because He wanted us to know something. There's nothing more harder on this planet than the human heart, and there's nothing more powerful than the touch of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how we see people, we're like, oh man, if that lady came to church, if that guy ever got saved, it'd be a miracle. Why? You think they're too hard? You know what the Bible says? Jeremiah 32:27. I am the Lord. Is anything too hard for me? No. That's why he proved it right from the beginning, writing his word. Guys, I'm here to tell you, it's not over. Sometimes you might think, you ever find yourself, you get jaded a little bit, you find yourself getting a little bit hard. You're like, my gosh, it's not like it used to be. God this morning wants to come down and touch your life. You are not too hard for him. Your kids, the trouble you face, it's so difficult. God does his best work. When human hands go, we can't even penetrate it. Our God can penetrate it. We've seen it done here, right? What about when human effort falls short? Luke chapter 8, there was a lady that had an issue of blood for 12 years. Blood flowed, she could not get it to stop. 12 years. The Bible says she spent all of her money on physicians. The best physicians could not solve her problem. You know what happens one day? Jesus comes into town. She sneaks up behind him and touches his garment. And one touch of Jesus Christ, and the Bible said, it dried up instantly. When physicians couldn't solve the problem, our God says, that is no issue for me. Nothing's too hard for him. That's why I love the stories when it says, and there was a guy who was blind from birth. Dude, never seen. As soon as you read something like that in the Bible, instantly you just say to yourself, Jesus is getting ready to show up. Because no humans can do anything. That kid was born blind. Watch what happens. Every time you read it. Yeah, and there was a lame guy at the... I love when I read it because I'm like, you know what's going to happen next? That dude's going to walk. He can't walk on his own. Jesus is going to come and do something. That's right. 2 Chronicles 16 is the story of Asa. Asa was diseased at his feet, the Bible says. And Asa, it says, the biggest issue he had was he decided he wanted his feet fixed, so he never sought the Lord. He went and sought physicians. That was his biggest mistake. Because there is one that cures diseased feet. There's only one. There's one that makes the blind to see. There's one that causes the lame to walk, man. There's only one. When human efforts exalt themselves, I don't know what problems you have in your life today, but I don't care what it is. You've been going to the doctor. I've been doing everything I can. Is it possible, my friend, you've just skipped over the biggest and the best thing ever? The great physician, the creator of you, said, call on my name. Call on my name. And he might say his grace is sufficient, but you know what he'll do? In the midst of your struggle, his grace will be enough. It'll be enough. I love when I read the Bible and I keep seeing walls. I keep seeing things like, Israel, they're coming out of Egypt and they're running. And all of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh, there's the Red Sea. We cannot get our kids and everything across the Red Sea. It's an impossible situation. And all of a sudden, he told Moses, raise up your staff. And we know what happened. The Bible says the water became walls. The sea became dry land. And then they got the privilege of crossing over. And he said, okay, everybody, turn around. Then they got to sit on the seashore and watch it. Here comes Pharaoh's army. And you know what people are doing? They're panicked. Here comes all these soldiers. And all of a sudden, the wheels started falling off their chariots. They started stumbling and falling to pieces. They could not reach them. And God says, are we ready? And everybody's watching for the climax of the story. Kabam! The walls came down. And they watched everybody drowned in that sea. Two miracles there. They got to see themselves safely over, and they got to see the enemies could not make it. See, walls, it's the best thing in the world for God. When you reach the edge and go, what are we supposed to do? And everybody's like, we ought to kill Moses is what we ought to do. What are we doing in this position? And God's like, I brought you here on purpose. And everybody got to watch God do another miracle. Have you ever noticed the Bible talks about we need to be mountain movers? Like, have the faith of a mustard seed so that we can say to a mountain, move and it'll move. We've read that stuff and seen it before, right? It's amazing to me. There's a reason. If you ever notice, Jesus frequently went up into a mountain to pray. Why would Jesus go up into a mountain to pray? Some people say, oh, he wanted to get closer to God. Well, you know, I understand that in my mind, but, you know, like for you and me, he's here, right? He's inside. He's with you wherever you go, right? But a lot of times I think he went to the mountain to pray. You know why? Because a mountain is one thing that human beings cannot move. It's the one thing that's a wall and it's standing in the way. What's the mountain in your life? I've seen so many mountains now in my life. It Jesus Christ would say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to set an example for you. I'm going to go up into the mountain. I'm going to call on the God that moves mountains. It's the God that tears down walls. I'm telling you, every issue we face as a country right now, it's nutty, it's crazy. Every one of those issues, if you look at it, you go to Scripture like, that Jesus can fix that. The middle wall partition can be done. Jews and Gentiles hate each other, right? They're always fighting, they're bickering. Jesus comes up and says, I'll tear that wall right down. And all of a sudden, you have them meeting together, praising them. Because walls are nothing for our God. You know what we do as humans? We like to build them. That's what we like to do. He wrecks them. He takes them down. So what is it this morning? Is it $10,000? And God's like, you've got too many people in your church to raise that kind of money. I've got to eliminate it. Remember the story of Gideon?
Yeah.
32,000 soldiers and they're still short. And God's like, nah, this is too many. God whittled that army down, didn't he, to 300. Down to 300 people in Judges chapter 7. And God says, there's too many. You realize Israel's, what kept them from going to the promised land? They went over there and the spies looked at the land and goes, I don't think we can do it. Why? There's giants over there. And God's like, are you kidding me now? I do my best work against giants. Right? I like to beat up little old ladies because I can. You know? Hey, and don't fight a midget, by the way. You're not supposed to say midget today, but what are you supposed to call them? Little people? I had an uncle. We called him, his name was Greg. We called him Greg the Midget. Everybody in the family. Hey, what's up, Greg? Greg the Midget. That's Greg the Midget. I would not want to fight Greg. They're super strong. I don't know because their arms are so little. Is that what it is? They make great power lifters. He's like 2 inches. Bam! 400 pounds. Bam! God, I don't know what that is. God likes giants. He likes those odds. We freak out about it. We don't like it. We just say, but you know what God says? Oh, there's too many people there. And God says, you know what? I'm going to eliminate you down to 300. God chopped them clear down to the point where when they won the battle, everybody had to sit back and say, man, we're tough, ain't we? No, what everybody had to say is, our God is bigger. Our God's bigger than those odds. That's what it is. In 2 Corinthians 12, God says, I glory. I get glory out of men's weakness. That's why we should glory in our infirmities. Guys, every time you face an infirmity, listen. The Bible says lift your eyes up. Because that's where hope's going to arise. Lift your eyes up and look beyond your circumstances and problems. This is what our God does. So glory in your trouble. Because now you can say we are candidate for a miracle. You know people that don't believe in God, they don't believe in miracles. And you know the problem with us Christians? Sometimes we don't either. But yet when we set our sights on God's Word to see what God does, we start realizing all the little things in our life are miraculous. Everything's a miracle, isn't it? Everything. It's unbelievable. Let's glory in our trouble this morning because God's getting ready to show up. Glory in the infirmities. That way the power of Christ can rest upon you. Is it possible the power of Christ doesn't rest upon your life because you've got it all figured out? You make all the decisions on your own. You'll never take a risky move. Because by golly, then people would say, boy, that's stupid. People say, man, you're out of control. Yes, I am. I am out of my mind. And into the mind of Christ. You know what God likes doing? All through Scripture. Do you remember in the Old Testament, there was a widow and her kid. They were getting ready to die. Elijah steps up and goes, hey, can you make me a little cake? And she goes, man, I got a little flour, I got a little oil, and I got just enough for me and my son. I was going to make us a meal, and then we die, because I have no more. He said, well, why don't you give that to me? And that widow lady, and he said, you give that to me. She cooked a meal for him, as her and her son are starving, and said their life, they don't know what they're going to do. How is she going to provide for her son? And the Bible says, from that day forward, the Bible says, her cruse of meal and her cruse of oil never ran out. Never. See, God does his best work when my cruse is empty. He does his best work when human efforts can't win. John chapter 2, they're at a wedding. Everybody's drinking and having a great time, and all of a sudden somebody goes, there's no wine. And guys, if you're like me, whenever I read this in the Bible, I'm like, they're fixing to have some wine. Jesus is there. They didn't have a need for him when they had their wine and all their bottles filled, right? Jesus steps to the scene and they're like, there's no wine. And Mama says, you better listen to him. And what did Jesus do? He took empty water pots and said, fill them with water. So one, he filled empty pots. And two, he took what the substance was in there, the human substance. And you know, wine takes time. Fine wine takes many years to be really, really good. Unless you're Jesus. Instantaneously. You know what he does? He takes what's empty and makes it good. You ever wonder why? He says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're a clay pot. We're like the oil in the Old Testament. God, I have nothing. He's like, fine, you're a candidate now. And then he'll fill you up. That's what he does. He does his best work. And now this morning we can say, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This clay pot is full. He filled me up. I was empty. And he'd done an incredible work in my life. Matthew 28, he says, hey, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. All. He's the power source, isn't he? Tony Evans says it best. He always says, God's the only guy that can have a perfect lick with a crooked stick. You give him a crooked stick, man, he'll knock it out of the park. That's exactly what he does. From the very beginning of time, when we see men in the Bible arise, Jacob's the biggest one. I'm like, what a loser. The kid was born, grabs his brother's heel, steals his birthright. Like, he is a total schemer. And God's like, yeah, you're the boy. You're the one that I'm going to make a great nation out of. Why would God choose Jacob? Jacob was a wiener, man. Not a winner. Not Jordan Winters. He was a wiener. That guy was a mess. He was a schemer. You know what he was? Anybody that reads the story of Jacob would say, he's crooked. Why would God use him? Because when the ball's hit straight and it's going over the fence, people go, that wasn't Jacob. God hit that perfect lick because that stick's crooked, man. That's what God does with the crooked. He does straight things with it, doesn't he? 1 Corinthians 1:28, it says, God chooses the base things of the world to confound the wise. You don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be the brightest. You don't have to be the best looking. God says, no, I choose the base things, and I'll make the world stand in awe. God likes weakness, because that's when he is strongest. When we muster up our own strength and ability, sometimes God has to step back and say, then have at it on your own. Even uncomely members, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, they're the best. People that have the least amount of honor in a church or in society, God says they're the best. Isn't it funny the things that God chooses in the Bible? And let's be honest with ourselves. Who wouldn't want to build a church of sexy people? It just wasn't Jesus' way. It just wasn't his way. He said, no, I'll take the base. I'll take the crooked. I'll take the empty people. I'll take people that feel so small and defeated that every giant's ran them over. I'll take a people that make all the excuses in the world that says, there's so many walls. I just, my family, you don't know where I come from. God says, I'll take the people that are, yeah, that lady is hard. She's my candidate. We wouldn't choose that, but he does. God will walk and say, I'm not going there. Why? It's too dark there. God says, that's where I do my best work. Do you realize in Matthew chapter 11, when everybody's around, says, is Jesus who he really said he was? How do we know that Jesus is God? Well, here's why. The blind see. The lame people walk. Lepers are cleansed. Deaf people hear. Dead people are raised to life. That's why. These are all impossible things human beings didn't accomplish. That's how we know he's real. In Matthew 15:30, they brought all the lame, the maimed, the dumb, the blind. And they said they brought him right to Jesus' feet. And it was shortly later, the next verse says, and then they were brought to healing. They needed the touch of Jesus. Sometimes we're just a little too sharp, have a little too many answers, have too many things together. And then we limit God on what he can do in our lives. Do you realize in Luke chapter 14, there's a beautiful story. You'll know it as soon as I talk about it. Jesus basically says, let's make a feast. You're going to have a party at your house. Who are you going to invite? Who would you invite? I don't know about you, but I'd probably think, I'm going to invite my friends. I'm going to invite people that like me. Maybe family, I don't know. Who are you going to invite to this party? You bring sucky people to a party, it's not going to be a fun party. What would you do? And Jesus says, here's what you do. I want you to make a feast. And here's who you're going to invite. The poor, maimed. I want you to find lame people. And I want you to find blind people. And if you can bring them to the feast, and they can get at my feet, I will transform their life. They'll be healed forever. And this is why the Maple City Baptist Church exists. This is why when we get too fancy, and we get the right amount of money coming, and all of a sudden we can solve our own issues and problems, God has to say, this is not about you. It's really about me. And then we find ourselves in a position of losing again. And this morning I want to shout out that $10,000 is raised. We're waiting for Hal P. to get approved so we can bring him here. We have the cash for him to come. Our vacation Bible school, who's going to start here in just a few weeks, our meetings will start. We did not have the money for that. It's paid for. And let me tell you why it's paid for. Because God had to take us to the trenches, man. That's why. Every big lesson in my life I've ever got that was just real impactful. You know when it happened? It usually happened for me. Well, old people say it happened back in the woodshed. My mom would always say, go to the bedroom. Sometimes she'd make me go to my dad's closet and she would say, get the big white belt. I got whipped frequently when I was little. But the big white belt was my dad's old disco belt, man. Big old wide, big thick belt. And it was bigger. It probably hurt less than the thin ones, but it just was more intimidating, man. That big belt. But I remember those lessons. Every time I got them, I remember them. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I've been to the woodshed, and I'm okay with it. I'll take my lickings, man. I taught my dog to do that. When my dog gets a whip, and I make him stand there, and I make him take it. He's not allowed to run from me. And that dog's learned when I whip him. He'll lean over like this. He'll tighten his back up and arch out and just take it, man. A lot of times he don't even cry. He just takes it. You know why? He says he deserves it. And I'll tell you what, he is the best. I love that dog. He listens so well. I think everybody knows I keep telling my story. My dog's going blind. He's completely blind in this eye now, and this eye's losing it real quick. You know, I had to tell him the other day. I brought him here to the church. It was late at night. I forgot the lights are off in the church. He don't know where he's going. And he's walking. It's sad, man, to watch this dog. He walks in, he's in the conference room by the door, just standing there, like waiting for me to open the door. I'm like, dude, the door is open. But he's standing. You know what I did? I had to tell my dog. And I picked him up and I said, hey. I said, dude, I know you're blind. And I know it's silly talking to a dog, but I said, I want you to know something. I'll lead you, dude. I'm going to guide you the rest of your life. It's going to be fine. We won't move the furniture. We won't do that, dude. It'll be okay. And about that time I put him on the ground, this Holy Spirit of God just says, Mike, you can't see very well, can you? No, Lord, I can. He goes, I'll guide you. I gave you sight from the beginning when you were in complete darkness. There's been so many hardness and issues and situations. I'm like, how can we get past this? God says, I do my best work against things that are so hard men can't move. When human efforts are exalted, when the physicians can't do it, when the walls are so tall, the human beings cannot get over it. God says, that is nothing for me. When you got giants in your life, when you're like, my gosh, the cruise is empty. And God's like, are you ready for me now? Are you ready for me to show up? When it's so crooked, I'm just like, God, I cannot see this thing getting straight. And God's like, because you can't, but I will. That's what he does. Folks, next week, we're going to make flyers. Probably going to be Saturday morning. Well, I'll put it out there. Everybody will get a message on it if you want to come and help. We're going to go door to door and just invite people and say, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Come, we're going to have some breakfast at 8 o'clock if you want breakfast. But the church is at 9. We're not going to fool them. It's not like we're going to have the best pancakes in the world. but we're going to deliver the word. And I believe the church is still relevant today. I believe the Bible is still true. I believe there's a lot of maimed, lame, blind people right here. I could throw a rock and hit a couple of them. And we're going to invite them and say, hey, here's your invite. Come here. This is who we need to go after as a church. The blind, the lame, the lepers, the dead, the deaf. And guys, God loves the audacious. God loves when people say, oh, it's a no-go. God's like, really? You're going to take that challenge? Really? God loves the absurd. He loves it. When somebody says it's impossible, my God says, really? And He'll do exactly what's possible with the impossible. That's what He does, right? Are we going to trust Him, church? I'm ready. I'm ready to trust Him. I've seen just in the last couple months. It's been rough, man, the last couple months. It's been really rough. I've been through seasons like this before, but on the back end, God has just been so super sweet to say, I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. You're getting too big for your britches again. I'm just going to have to lean you up. I'm going to have to get you so beat up you find yourself on your knees. And God's like, and this, my friend, is where you're the strongest. On your knees. And that's where we fight like men. Let's pray, guys. Why don't we stand up and pray together? Let's stand up and pray together. It's 10:30. We'll pick our target. Jesus, thank you for your word today. Lord, we do want to raise up a hallelujah and say, praise your holy name. God, we have nobody to praise. Nobody really to thank but you. You're the one that's come through. Lord, you're the reason we're here. You're the reason we have life inside of us. And God, what you've done amongst us as your people, we know there's a whole host of people out there that need you. God, you do your best work in the darkest of times. And in this dark time, we're calling on you. Say, we've seen you at work. We've seen you come to life. And we want to see it again. So God, thank you for these good people. Thank you for this nice, shady breeze that we got to enjoy to sing. Lord, thank you for just the coffee, the sweets that we were able to partake and just be together. We're a blessed people today. God, I can't imagine where I would be if I didn't know you. If it weren't for grace, God, we would be so empty and lonely this morning. So right now we come before you. We bring the emptiness. We bring the lonely. We bring our walls. Or we bring the impossible. We bring all of our issues that we can't solve, even with our greatest doctors. Then we lay them at your feet. And now, God, we're waiting on the healing. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord, church.